This is Chris Brown. Before we get started today, I want to let you know, as you make plans for your future through investing, be sure to reach out to one of our endorsed local providers with the heart of a teacher who can get you on the right track. Get started by going to stewardship.com today and clicking on Find an ELP.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So glad that you are tuning in today. This is the show where we talk about life, we talk about money through the lens of the Bible. It is God's love letter to us, and I pray that you are tuning into it. The verse of the day here, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is just one of the promises, just one of the truths that we read in the scriptures. So if this whole Bible thing is new to you, we especially welcome you here to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we look at what the Bible says about stewardship, about managing God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory. We're excited about today's show. Just so you know, our endorsed local providers, they are ELPs. They are ready to answer any questions you might have about investing for your future. Make sure you check them out at stewardship.com today. Click on Find an ELP to get started. And they're on the website. Make sure you check out all the life-changing events that are coming to a city near you. Our team is doing our best to be on the road and to be in the air, flying all over the country to bring incredible events to you. So the tickets are going fast, so I don't want you to miss out on these events. Don't wait another minute. Go to stewardship.com. Well, today I'm super excited about breaking down my favorite baby step, and that is baby step 7, where you build wealth and you give. Where you're going to live and give like nobody else, if you've ever heard Dave Ramsey say that. This is the baby step where we get to really do that in an extravagant way. You've heard Financial Peace University over and over and over again, but just in a condensed form, let me just tell you real fast, the baby steps. And kind of those of you that are a little bit familiar, maybe you can test yourself, see how you know these baby steps. These are the ones that keep us in line, tell us where the parameters are. We're facing that daily situation. We're like, what happens next? You go back to the baby steps, because the baby steps have already been measured up against all those 2,350 verses and countless millions of people that we've counseled. That's where those baby steps come from. They weren't just pulled out of the air, but they are very, very strategic, and they really help us stay out of trouble and help us with our journey towards ultimate financial freedom. So, baby step 1 is to make sure that we put aside $1,000 for those of us making over $20,000 a year, and $500 for those of us making under $20,000 a year. And that is just a fund that's there so we don't have to keep swiping. So anything that we're just my wife just recently, out of nowhere, boom, root canal. I mean, just nothing was, that was just yesterday. And of course, the brakes went out, and that was really, really expensive as well. So that $1,000 emergency fund really helps us out. So that's baby step 1. Baby step 2 is to get out of debt and stay out of debt. It's called a debt snowball. You put all your debts in order of smallest to largest. You attack that smallest one while paying the minimum payments on all the rest of them until that smallest one is gone. And then you go to the next smallest one. That's regardless of interest rate. But you want to get those small loans and a small debt out of your life and then work to the next biggest one. And then you get to baby step 3, and now you're going to expand that emergency fund to 3 to 6 months of monthly expenses. So for the bigger things that happen in life, like the roof caving in or something like that, or the air conditioning going out, or maybe it's an emergency surgery or a more significant illness in our life. Baby step 4 is to start investing 15% of our household income. Baby step 5 is to make sure you start putting away money for college for your kids. And baby step 6 is to pay off that mortgage, your non-consumer debt, get that mortgage. And then so that brings you to baby step 7, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and that is giving. Build wealth and giving, because that's what you do when you have no payments. What do you have to do? It's just to give it away and to build more wealth. And the reason why you build more wealth is so that you have this economic engine of money is making money all that time so that you can continue to give and continue to give. If you get to baby step 7, you just give it all away in one lump sum and you don't think about the future, well, you're going to have one great day of giving. And your one great day of giving will be over. And so we want to make sure that we're building wealth and giving at the same time. You can do everything that we teach and you will prosper. But if you don't understand this lesson, you will never have financial peace. Never. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Check it out, folks. When we're going through those baby steps, there are times where it does not seem very pleasant, and it's actually a little bit painful. But the second half of that verse again, later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see, the great misunderstanding, the paradox, is the mistaken belief that the way to have more is to hold on tightly. You know, there's a great person who was quoted saying, there are men who gain from their wealth only the fear of losing it. You ever thought about that? They gain all this wealth, and what do they actually gain at the end? Just a fear of losing it all. We want to avoid that. You will never have financial peace until you learn to manage money with an open hand. I mean, think about it. Think about the beauty of a river, right? A stream kind of just gently flowing over the rocks. How beautiful is that, right? And then think about a stagnant pond that stinks, right? Things flow into it, but nothing can get out of it. And that's what it's like to see a wealthy person who doesn't give. It's stagnant and it stinks. So let's think back foundationally. Okay, the whole concept of this show, you've got owners and you've got managers. You and I are asset managers for the Lord. I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself that way, but that's exactly what you are. So if we view it properly, we aren't giving our own money away anyway. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24:1. A steward is a manager, not an owner. You think about where that word actually comes from, that word steward. It actually comes from the time that the King James Version of the Bible was written, like during that Braveheart time. And, you know, it's a toxic church word today that needs to be reclaimed. And this is not talking about building a building. This is not about raising money in the congregation. This isn't about recycling or environmentalism or benevolence. A steward is, you think back to that time period, there was a lord, a lowercase l, that was kind of the lord over a three-county area called a realm. And that lord had a number two, kind of like an executive pastor or a manager, somebody who kind of took care of all the lord's assets. And they were called a steward. They were a manager. So why, you know, think about this. Think, have you ever thought about this? Why does the Bible tell us to give so often? The Bible talks about money more often than it talks about love and grace. You think our attitude and our money might be a big deal to God? I think so, for sure. You know, giving moves you to become less selfish, and less selfish people have more of a tendency to prosper in relationships and wealth. They focus on others more. And in your mind, if you think about that jerk who steals, they don't get promoted in real life. They might get promoted in the movies or in a show occasionally, but they don't get promoted in real life. But selfless people that focus on others are the people who get promoted and that God wants to continue to give money to. We think about this, you know, God owns the whole thing, not just a tithe, not just 10%, but God owns it all. And it says in Proverbs 13:22 that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, meaning a good man gives to others besides themselves. Albert Schweitzer says, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Okay, not just serving, with time and energy, but also with our finances. So why do we give? Well, giving is a reminder of that ownership principle. I'm not the owner. It's a great reminder of that. Giving is actually praise and worship. You know, I got to thinking about offerings at churches, and the offerings shouldn't be a halftime break during the worship service. It's not intermission. It's actually a part of worship. It's another way to worship, with not just singing, but with our giving. You know this. The 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, that cheerful giver actually means helios, which is the root word for hilarious. It would be fun if everybody was that tickled to be able to give back to him. Also, giving is a spiritual warfare. Malachi 3:10 talks about bringing the tithe to the storehouse, but Malachi 3:11 says this, and I will rebuke, after you do that, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. How cool is that? I'm a firm believer that there are demons and there is a real devil. But folks, we win. Big Jesus, little devil, right? There's the demon of water pumps. There's the demon of mufflers. There's the demon of air conditioners going out. There's demons of our refrigerator going down, root canals, you name it. But big Jesus, little devil. Well, I know we're talking about baby step number 7, but if you've been thinking about investing lately, where you're at in your journey is right in that baby steps 2, 3, and 4, research shows. And it's never a good idea to invest just because someone told you to, even myself, just because I told you to. But to steward what you're investing, you need to know how it works, why it's important for your future, and how it can help you fulfill God's call in your life. An investing advisor with the heart of a teacher can answer all those questions and help you make the most of your retirement savings. Our endorsed local provider program has been connecting people to these trustworthy investing professionals for 15 years. I know I found my personal investment professional through our ELP program, and I'm really proud to offer that program to you as well. Go to stewardship.com, click Find an ELP, and get started today. Well, today we are talking about giving, and we're talking about this baby step 7. Of course, you're tithing all along the way, okay? That's very clear in the scriptures that we're to tithe all along the way and trust him with our first fruits. But this above and beyond giving that happens in baby step 7, oh my goodness, a lot of fun. Now, I'd hit it on times, and maybe that creates a little bit of confusion, and you don't have a whole lot of background when it comes to tithing and what that means. I remember one story that happened when I first started pastoring a church down in South Florida. There was an administrative assistant that worked in our office, and she was a new believer, and she'd been on staff for a couple months. And I remember her giving a praise report in one of our staff meetings. And she goes, I was so excited this past weekend. I gave my tithes for the first time. T-I-D-E-S, tithes for the first time. She was so new to the whole church scene and whole new to the scriptures. And she had no idea, even what the word was, but she just knew that she needed to be obedient. And so we worked that out with her, but I thought that was pretty funny. But maybe you don't have a whole lot of experience when it comes to this tithing thing, so let's talk a little bit more about it. The tithe is a tenth of your increase, a tenth of your income. Now, there's a big, huge conversation out there, gross versus net, off my gross income, or is it 10% off of my net income? And for me personally, I do gross. You know, I'm going to be on the high side. When I get to heaven, I want to be on the right side of that coin. So I think you got to ask yourself, how blessed do you want to be? I mean, of course, that's not why we give, but he does tell us very clearly in the scriptures that we will reap what we sow. And I think a lot of folks who are in this gross versus net conversation, many of them who are like just throwing stones at gross and they're like, no, it's all about net. The bottom line is most of those folks, research shows, they're only given 2.5-4.5% of their income anyway. They're not even close regardless. So it's kind of funny that a lot of the folks that, you know, engage in that battle aren't even giving either one. So the research shows that only 12% of born-again believers are actually tithing or giving more than a tithe. So the Bible says to give your first fruits, meaning off the top. It doesn't say, but not if you're in debt. It just says we need to do that. So that's why I like to give off the gross. The tithe is to go to your local church. And why local? You know, a lot of times I will, on accident, I will quote Malachi 3:10 from memory, and I'll actually throw the word local in there. But the word local actually is not in that word, in that verse, in many translations. But the tithe is to go to your local church. That local church provides the same function as the Old Testament storehouse. So the implication is that it's the local storehouse, the local church, but it doesn't actually say that word. So those of you that have been giving to maybe a church that's far away, I think God's mostly concerned with your heart, not the legalism of this, but the intentionality is that it would be the local church. And just when we're talking about that, I thought I'd throw this in here, that don't be offended if your pastor is paid well. Your pastor is providing a service just like any other service, actually even, you know, more important than many of the services that are provided in our marketplace, and they should be paid well. Now, there should be some kind of comparative market analysis done on their compensation, and it should be there should be a team that's involved in setting the salary. But a pastor, no matter what size church you're at, they should be paid well. Please don't be offended if they get paid well. They should. Your church should be taking care of widows, orphans, single parents. And in this day and age, that includes families of deployed military personnel. And these are things that cost money to be able to do that. You know, the gospel is free, but not freely preached. There's a lot of work that goes into the local church. And, I'm reminded of this whole giving mentality and the tithing mentality. And we actually had a Facebook message come in from Chris. He said, now that my finances are in order, I like to buy lunch for coworkers who are struggling with having enough money for food. How cool is that, right? That's pretty cool. So we're talking about tithing and we're talking about offerings. And Chris gives us a great example of an offering that can be at church or it can be out of church. Offerings are different than a tithe. They're above the tithe and are freely given from surplus. And so this is just looking out for opportunities to be able to give. You know, we should never be giving with the motive of having your giving returned. That's where this whole idea of prosperity gospel comes in. You might have heard that terminology before. And a lot of times, in my experience, is that folks who are getting blamed as teaching prosperity gospel really aren't. They might not have been fully clear in one sermon for sake of time and might have missed a valid point, but the heartbeat behind folks who are teaching the prosperity gospel as a whole, there's a few bad apples out there. But generally speaking, most folks are really just alluding to the fact that the Bible is very clear that what you sow, you will reap, and that God wants to bless those who are investing into his kingdom. It's just the way it is. Now, those who are just blatantly teaching that if you give $29.99 today and you'll get a Mercedes tomorrow, that obviously is pretty silly and they're off the rocker. But most folks are not teaching that. Now, financial peace is more than just God's system for understanding money and becoming debt-free and building wealth. I hope you understand that. I hope you can hear that today, the heartbeat behind financial peace. The financial peace is when the great misunderstanding is understood. The great misunderstanding that you get more by holding on tightly. When you understand that that is a misunderstanding, then you truly have financial peace. Now, let me give you an example of this. It just happened to me recently. I was in the Starbucks line, and what I had done is I left my house and had a horrible morning. Horrible morning. Yep, it was one of those days, you know? And I was leaving the house. I'd actually spilt some cereal on my shirt, and then I got stuck in dead stop traffic, and the day was just off to a bad start, and it wasn't even 7:30 yet. Anyone of you guys ever been there before? I hadn't slept well the night before, and I needed some caffeine, so I decided to swing through Starbucks. I pulled into the line, you know, that one that winds around the building, and eventually made my way up to the front of the line. And when I pulled around to the window, the cheerful barista opened the window with a smile, said, "Here you go," she said, as she handed me my drink. And then the most amazing thing happened. And this goes back to that misunderstanding. Right as I went to hand her my money, she said, "Actually, the car in front of you has paid for your order, so you're good to go." I said, "Shut up. No way." I was immediately shaken out of my disgruntled attitude. And I said, "What do you mean?" Now, folks, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So she repeated herself with a smile, "The car in front of you paid for your order, so you're good to go." How amazing is that? How thoughtful and kind and generous. So then I was so excited that I said, "Well, I want to pay for the car behind me." And she didn't look too surprised. Now, their order behind me was $8.59. And I handed her the money, and as she was ringing it up, I asked her, "How often does this happen?" She said, "Well, every now and then. It's always fun when it does. We like to count how many cars that this will continue to go on." And so I thanked her. I drove away with obviously more than a fresh drink. I drove off with a fresh attitude. But what's so cool is this. When I drove away, folks, when I drove away from that window, I was not only grateful for the car in front of me that paid for my drink, but I couldn't help but look in the rearview mirror to watch the woman in the car behind me and see her face light up. Now, keep in mind, I ordered a $4 drink and actually paid twice as much. But folks, I left happier than when I pulled up. That's what giving does. You see, when you're grateful for what you've got, it makes you want to give. When you realize what God has entrusted you with, it makes you want to give. See, it's impossible to be truly grateful for something and not give. That's like saying you're really excited and not smiling. "Oh, I'm so excited. Seriously, I'm just beside myself. I might just explode with happiness." That doesn't match up, right? It's like you being the caboose in the Starbucks giving train that ends the whole thing. You pull up, and they tell you your coffee is paid for, and you just take the coffee and pull off. Peace. Don't be that person. You see, what's so sad about that is that that one person is the one who misses out. It isn't the car behind him that missed out on the gift of the coffee. It's that person, the one that didn't get to experience how good it feels to give to others. I bet you didn't know it, but the Bible even talks about Starbucks. No kidding. It's right here. Proverbs 11:25 says, "Whoever refreshes others, themselves will be refreshed." Folks, we are on a track to get to baby step 7. That's what we're going after. And those of you that are already there, man, you are inspiring us, and we're so thankful for you. But to the rest of us, we're getting there, not so that we can just get all this wealth and money for ourselves. It's so that we can engage in that kind of giving all day long, every day. How fun is that? Well, that's a wrap on baby step number 7. There's a lot of things that we can say about an incredible time for us all to strive to be at. Many of you listening in, you're at baby step 7. And listen, I want to encourage you, call us in with your success story. You're at baby step 7 already. And all this stuff has worked for you. You could really help us. You could really inspire us. You could really encourage us. Give us a call at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And you can email in as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, if you're not on Baby Step 7, but you're ready to get started maybe and you're investing for your future, that's where you're at, let our endorsed local providers help by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP. Well, folks, it has been a pleasure today. Hopefully that inspires you, talking all about Baby Step 7. Wherever you're at in your journey, that's something that we all should be striving for. And that's why we talked about it today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship.